Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
Well, Jan, it's springtime in the air, and I know that people are gearing up about Earth Day and going outside and doing all sorts of landscaping plans, but we have a great show for you today talking about Earth-Kind principles and how you can make Earth Day every day in your landscape. But first, we have some announcements to make. The Master Gardeners are going to be in full force later this month. They'll be at the Earth Day celebration with the City of El Paso Environmental Services Department. And that's going to be next Saturday, April the 22nd. So stop by, ask all of your gardening questions out there. We'll have a lot of great information. We'll have Master Gardeners to answer your questions and to provide you with some educational handouts as well. So stop by, take your questions, take your photos, take your plants, and they'll be able to help you out.
And that's in San Paulo, is that correct, Denise?
Yes, it is. It's the Environmental Services Department, and they've kind of moved around years past, but they'll be out there and look out for city events, and they'll be promoting that, and we'll be one of those exhibitors out there that day. And that same weekend, the next weekend, is April 22nd and 23rd, we'll also be at the Party for the Planet, and that's at the El Paso Zoo. And that's really going to be a focused youth activity. So you'll see our Master Gardeners there that are working with the children that are, a lot of them are retired educators, and they just absolutely shine when they're teaching children about plants and having the activities out there for them.
That's true. You can take the teacher out of the classroom, but you can't take the classroom out of the teacher. And we've been working on propagating some plants for the kids to actually plant and take home with them. So we'll have some good show and tell and hands-on projects for the children to complete while they're at the zoo.
Wonderful. And if you have any questions on the dates or times of these programs, you can go ahead and check out the Master Gardener website at txmg.org/El Paso. But today we're all talking about Earth Day. Everybody wants to talk about that, and everybody kind of thinks about, well, it's warm outside, let's do something out there. But really, what we focus on with our research-based information are Earth-Kind principles. And these are essentially aligned to what most will refer to as xeriscape principles. And there's a lot of different objectives that you look at being and having an Earth-Kind program. It's not so much having an organic garden or landscape or a traditional one. It's actually blending the two and really making what your choices are to be practical, but also a way that you can beautify your landscape as well as being an environmental steward in
our
community.
Exactly. And as you were talking, mentioning, you know, planting our landscapes, it's also time for us to clean up after winter and so forth and so on. And we do have drop-off sites throughout the city where we can take that yard waste and dispose of it properly. You can call 211 to get the sites on that throughout the city. They're very helpful. It's a time to get rid of anything that might be toxic. Perhaps you've got old miticides or pesticides or whatever in your garden area. So that's a really good thing to do to get started with, and so that we can be kind to our earth. And of course, water conservation is so vital. And when we employ xeriscape principles, we are being water conservators. I like to compare xeriscaping as opposed to zeroscaping. Lots of rock and lots of concrete produce heat. Lots of heat will increase your heating bill in your home and so forth and so on. So taking care and landscaping properly in an earth-kind manner will make a huge difference for you in many areas of your life.
And that's not really one thing that you have to worry about of having a completely xeriscape landscape. You know, you don't want to have any kind of rocks and just a yucca right smack in the lawn. You can really have the two of them blending together for what you want to get out of your outdoor space. And really, when we talk about El Pasoans, and you know, earlier this month we had, you know, the kickoff for our water conservation team through the El Paso Water Department. And, you know, we have these watering restrictions that we've had for close to 20 plus years. And El Pasoans are kind of geared in that respect where they can only water X number of days out of the week. And that's a really great way to look at for water conservation. But on the plant side, and I'm saying this because we get a lot of questions in our offices about folks saying, well, I water Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and my plants are still not getting enough water. My plants are still dying. Well, the thing is that you don't necessarily want to go on a watering schedule based, yes, on your days when you can water, but it's more so on your plant needs, what's going on in your garden, what's the heat looking like. If I can sit down and tell you, you don't have to water three times a week. You can water twice, but if you're giving it a deep watering, then you're actually making it a better investment of your natural resources into your garden.
So it makes a huge difference if you have an irrigation system. You still have to watch it and adjust it accordingly. Obviously, if it rains, you turn it off.
Right.
Because rainwater counts. I mean, it counts a lot.
Exactly.
Because it returns all sorts of nutrients that our regular water may not have. But I think we can be very proud in El Paso because I think we've been pioneers of water conservation in the city and throughout the county, which is a really good thing. You see a huge difference. I've seen a difference in my water utility bills. I put in xeriscaping several years ago, planted trees and shrubs and so forth, and it's aesthetically very pleasing, but it also helps to cool my home, which that in turn helps to reduce my utility bills. So that's the real payoff in many ways. And then, you know, I'm thinking about things that are plant friendly for El Paso, that are environmentally friendly, and that do promote water conservation. We can still create a beautiful, beautiful landscape employing all of those principles.
Right. And I think, you know, you have to really look at the overall. When you talk about running a sprinkler system for 10 minutes a day, that doesn't tell me anything. I have no idea how much water you're putting into your lawn.
Right.
I do know that a Bermuda grass lawn is going to use about an inch of water a week. Now, until I know how much your sprinklers are applying in your lawn, then we would be able to tell you how to schedule your irrigation box to reflect the needs of the plant. Now, you're just turning it on for 10 minutes. We don't know how much you're getting out there. So it's also one thing to look at by reducing the frequency of watering to really giving those deep water irrigation so that water that's coming from the sprinkler is actually hitting the ground and percolating through the soil. Another thing that we have to realize is the fact is that it's so dry here. So we have very low humidity. A lot of that water, if it's not hitting the ground, is being intercepted and taken up and evaporated into the air. So you're not necessarily even getting that amount into your water.
It's not getting to the ground.
So you definitely want to make sure that you know how much water you're applying, how frequent you're applying, what plants you have, what kind of soil you have, to be able to make these decisions, and you don't waste water, so that you don't get also that runoff of water. You know, even employing something like a simple cycle and soak method, where you turn the water on, you let the water percolate through the soil, then you can give it another helping of water as well, and that prevents that runoff, and then that's also prevents those little blue trucks from visiting you in the neighborhood.
Code compliance. And the other thing I think that it's very important is to water at the right time of day. Water early in the morning or water late in the evening, usually after 6 o'clock. And as the weather gets warmer, it's not a problem to water early. And that makes a big difference. That reduces the evaporation into the air. Also the type of sprinklers that you have, because as you said, lots of times water will evaporate before it even hits the ground. And you say, well, how do I know I'm putting an inch of water on my yard? And you can do a simple, we call it the tuna can test, or if you've got cat food cans, put those out in your yard and see how long it takes for an inch of water to collect in those cans. And so that's an effective and, you know, a cost-effective way of measuring how much water. And it does make a huge difference.
Right, exactly. And definitely you had mentioned about landscaping for energy conservation. The simple things to understand exactly how your house is facing which direction it faces, and that's going to dictate on which side of your yard you should place your trees and your shrubs, because essentially you want your deciduous trees to be on your south or your southwest side of your property, and that's going to be able to give you that well-deserved shade in the afternoon as well. You don't want to, you know, shade your neighbor's yard or somewhere down the street. You know, you want to make sure that you kind of keep that shade in your on your yard and on your property into your outdoor living spaces. And, you know, think about your deciduous trees. They're going to lose their leaves at the winter time. That's going to allow for that nice winter sun coming in, yes, and giving in there. So, you know, think about that as well. And also think about, you don't necessarily have to have a really big tree in your yard. In the right place, it's going to shade your patio and it's going to be able to give you what you need and really reduce your heating, cooling bills, I should say, because, I mean, even if you go up and you put your hand up against the side of your walls on your outside house or on the rock wall, you'll still
feel that residual heat.
Yeah, that radiated heat on there. And then that's great when it's cold out there, but when it's not, it takes a long time to cool down your house.
It does, and it's just great. The other thing I think that is very important is it helps to reduce fertilizers and pesticides that might be going into our, you know, into our water sources and so forth and so on too. So, you know, be cautious about using those unless you absolutely have to. I know there's times and that's a personal preference, but do be careful with your fertilizers and pesticides. Read the directions to the letter.
Right. Anytime that you buy any kind of herbicide, I like to personally buy the more concentrated one and then I dilute that into my sprayer and use that. And then only, you know, dilute how much I need and, you know, take care and spray if I have. And then that way, whatever I have to store is in a smaller container.
Exactly.
You know, after that, you know, you don't want to store needless amounts or buy large quantities of pesticides and store them. You know, that's just not safe. They can certainly seep into the ground and they can easily get washed away if you're overwatering or over applying your fertilizer and your over applying your water as well. That just gets taken away, and that's just not a good steward on that. So definitely when we get to the point, we're going to start talking about mowing grass here pretty soon. It's going to be that warm. Ugh. But also don't think you got to bag everything and haul it away when you mow your lawn. You know, every other day, you know, every other time, excuse me, when you mow, leave some of those grass clippings on there. There's going to be a readily source of nitrogen onto your plants for your trees.
I haven't bagged my grass clippings in a long time, and my yard has thickened up, and it's free nitrogen.
There it is. There it is.
Great.
Before we leave you today, we want to make sure that we announce our plant of the week, and this week we chose Salvia greggii. Nice little flowering plant. It can and it does appreciate a little shade in your landscape. So.
And there's different colors, the cherry, the raspberry, it's a common name, it's a sage, it's a type of sage, and it is so pretty. And last week we talked about the hummingbirds, and they will go and visit the Salvia greggii as well. So it's a wonderful plant to have in your backyard and gives you that lovely aesthetic value as well.
Right. Well, we're all out of time for the show. If you have any questions, please call the Master Gardeners at 771-2354. We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelga.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.